Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how's it hanging?
Happy Thursday. Hope you enjoyed a night of no real sports action.
Right.
Because we're getting a lot tonight.
We're getting everything back.
Yeah.
Couldn't have spread it out.
I'm good with it. Go back and forth.
Get
the clicker working again.
You know how down bad I was for any sporting events yesterday? I watched Stars Capitals.
I watched college basketball.
It was very boring.
Providence, UConn. UConn won in overtime.
Dallas took over the beginning of the game and then just like limited Washington for having any shot quality.
So neither of us saw what happened in St. Louis and Chicago live. We all have to find out about that later.
Yeah.
Or what was it? Was Jordan Binnington hiding?
No. Binnington was in. Not only does Binnington pull a Binnington and refuse to go out, but backup goalie Joe Hoffer is sitting behind the wall around the corner.
It's peeking out a little bit.
Peeking out a little bit, like, I don't want to go in there. Are you kidding me? They're rank 7 on Binnington. I don't want to do any work.
This is not my job today.
I don't feel like doing any work today.
And I'm not getting cooked. Absolutely not.
And that's very real.
I love that for him. Tonight, Sabres at the Rangers. Looking to hopefully go 2 straight wins. They don't start a losing streak. Very good for them. We'll see if they can score a power play goal. That'd be sick. And then at 7:30, we've got Ole Miss-Miami as we get the semifinals underway in the college football playoff. What bowl game is this actually going to be? Is this going to be the Peach Bowl, Derek? Do we know? We have to know. I just need to look it up now.
Well, now, yeah, that's what it is.
Fiesta Bowl is today. Peach Bowl is tomorrow. That's Oregon and Indiana.
Yes. What's the sponsors this year on these things?
My thing with Fiesta Bowl, it's always got to be Tostitos. Like, I don't care if it's not. But, like, I watched the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl with Texas and Michigan. I'm like, that doesn't fit at all. Somebody needs to talk to marketing.
They're both orange.
I mean, we're really reaching there. But, yeah, I guess it's true.
Hey, man, I stretched before I reached for that, okay?
We got to talk to marketing. Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We got our first Bills injury report yesterday. Rather lengthy, although it was a walkthrough. And to be fair, we've kind of been going through this throughout the later half of this season of just kind of playing out guys' injuries, keeping everyone healthy, keeping everyone as upright as possible. Josh Palmer, a little bit of a surprise addition on the injury report, but I did see Sal Camacho.
Not great,
but Sal commented to a listener basically asking, like, did this happen in practice? And the answer is probably no, because if it did, Palmer would have been limited. So him not practicing was a late decision before practice. That could literally just be you played on the game on Sunday and a bunch of these other guys didn't. You get to sit down today. It's a walkthrough. We'll be fine. You'll be back on Thursday. We'll see again later today when the injury report does come out. But we're one day closer, and it's now actually starting to feel like we're getting there. Of course, for me and you, Derek, we do the show Tuesday through Thursday. So Thursday always, in a sense, for me, has that Friday feel.
It has a finality to it. It has that finality. Our week.
Yeah. And so for me now today, it does feel like we're sort of locking into this matchup.
Which is funny because for me, it's not.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I've got Saturday.
You've got Saturday still.
With this wackadoo behind the glass and Joe Cali.
I won't stand for wackadoo. All right. Watch yourself.
All right. Well, I'll find 14 other indirect charming insults.
I like the charming right in there. Yeah. Charming's in there.
That's
good.
Why it's wackadoo.
That's good.
There's a little bit of a charm to it.
A lot of charm. I don't know what you're talking about.
But so for me, like,
you can't see his coiffed hair.
That's right. But for me, this is sort of like the last run here. And for most of this week, I've been going kind of back and forth about how I feel about the game as a whole. I think overall.
Yeah, yesterday before the show, you were kind of like not in a great place.
No. And I'll be honest, I've gone like kind of a 180 here. In part, a lot of it is to do with, I think this is a bad matchup for the Bills, just in the sense of I think Jacksonville is the most complete team in the AFC. That does not mean that they are by far and away the best team in the playoff field, a great team even. We don't really know. They've played a lot of softer teams to finish out this year. With that all being said, I've listened and read a lot of kind of previews for this game. I like that I'm not alone in the sense that, at least nationally, it feels like most are picking this as like maybe the most intriguing game, maybe just outright the best game, maybe the most important game, what have you. But it all feels much more important than you would say Carolina and the Rams or Houston and Pittsburgh. Like, this game feels like the winner is going to really matter come 2-3 weeks from now when we're talking AFC, NFC Championship and Super Bowl. Where I sit today, though, Derek, and 803-0550, the number to call, want to give your thoughts. If the Bills are to win on Sunday, what is going to be the major reason why? We know Josh Allen's going to be in there, and he might be the major reason why. But what are some of the other things that are going to point to for this Bills team getting a win?
And for me, the first place I'm going to stop at is the word stop. The defense doing what it does, getting timely stops, frustrating a team that probably has a lot more talent on the other side, and finding a way to keep yourself in a game. What has even happened in the playoff losses? Despite everything, outside of 13 seconds, they get a timely stop somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, matter of fact, even in 13 seconds, there is a stop in there.
It's not when you needed it, technically, but that's right, yeah.
Well, I mean, at any point in that game, you needed any sort of stop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they did get one and limited Kansas City to a field goal. And, oh my goodness, the Bills are back into this thing. Because it was later on, too. If it was a touchdown, the Bills are down 10.
Right.
So, no. Not always the way that it has to go. I think it is that. That's part of the recipe for how they've won all year. The defense makes the timely stops when they need to. And the offense is keeping pace. Or, even in the losses, it has been, we're trying everything we can. And it's just the other side of the football is not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it is the defense just has to do more of the same of what we've seen this year. And when I say that, that might scare some people contextually. But I'm still at, okay, hey, this is the opportunity. You are playing an offense that has been fantastic. Travis Etienne has rather justified his draft status. Trevor Lawrence has been playing one of his better years in his career. But that said, you could still bother Trevor Lawrence. You could still get some bad plays out of him. And then you've got to deal with the wide receiver trio there of Jacoby Myers, Brian Thomas, and Parker Washington. You're banged up. Everybody's kind of counting you for dead again on the defensive side of the ball. Can the duct tape defense, trademark pending, give me a couple more stops?
I think really for them it's going to be, can they just keep it going?
Yes.
The second half of the year, there have been some real bright spots. It's been frustrating at times in many of these losses where you'd love to bang the drum for the defense. Philadelphia, I think, is chief among them. The second half for Atlanta kind of starts the run of it. But I know Sneaky Joe put out this morning like how well they've done against rushing attacks recently. They've done exceptionally well against many, maybe not top-tier running backs outside of Saquon Barkley, but starting running backs, they've done very, very well. It's the number one secondary in the sport. They play cover two a lot, especially that two-high safety. I think this is where I'm going with it, Derek, and it kind of is conjoined with yours because of the side of the ball that McDermott deals with the most, defense. And Bill's Chat Podcast quote tweeted my tweet as well, and we're kind of in the same vein with this. It's the McDermott game. Coaching needs to be the Bills' advantage this weekend. I think that's 100% right. I think this needs to be a game where on Monday or Sunday night, whenever we want to talk about it, we all sit back and go, that was one of McDermott's best playoff games. We can't sit here and go, he did it again. We can't have another chapter to the playoff botches by the coaching staff. It's not all on McDermott. I'm not saying right. It is. But he is the leader of that troop. He's got to get it done. And when I look at a rookie head coach making his playoff debut, I'm looking at a quarterback that, while is on a hot streak, has not necessarily had a lot of consistency
in
that
his career.
Guy. And I am looking at a team that is weathered, that has been there before. I think it has to be McDermott. I think it has to be him. I can, in some confidence, assume Allen is going to have a very good game. To some confidence. And I can assume that, to some confidence, James Cook will have a pretty good game. I need something from McDermott to confuse a quarterback who is not in the playoffs very much, who is sort of on a hot streak and is kind of testing it a little bit. He is throwing deep a lot. He is playing a little bit with fire, and he's doing it well. I'm not saying that is a negative to Trevor Lawrence at all, but he is doing it well. But he's still playing with a little bit of fire. And I listened to Trevor Sikkema's breakdown on this game, and even he kind of acknowledged that of like, can this run keep going, though? Are we sure that is sustainable? Because you're playing with fire a little bit there. That's where I think for me the biggest matchup is going to come down to is, can Sean McDermott flex that he is one of the better coaches in football, that he is, in fact, working really well with, in many ways, a duct tape defense? Or are we going to be coming in Sunday night for post game, Monday night or Monday morning, breaking it down, going, yeah, the head coach maybe failed him again.
And there's more pressure on it this time. Obviously, it's not going to make much of a difference right now, but when I say that, I do mean John Harbaugh's on the market. Kevin Stefanski's on the market. These are guys that are big names that ultimately I do think John Harbaugh needed to go. However, I do also think that Stefanski was mistreated by the Browns organization.
Yeah,
I think he's a better coach than his record, because I do not know how Andrew Berry got retained as general manager there. Here, let me give out the historically worst contract in football history. Good luck winning with this, Kevin. Also, the quarterback's bad.
Yeah, the only way I can justify him being fired is if he was also in on Watson. He was like, yeah, get him here.
Yeah, unless that was the case. But then, ready? You don't have any part in the decision on the quarterback.
No.
Quarterback set.
Yeah.
You're actually all good there, as a matter of fact. But I've seen him take a Baker Mayfield-led Cleveland team and even a Joe Flacco-led team to the playoffs. He's not a total dunce.
No. I mean, for all the issues he's had in the last few years, especially like these blown leads, what have you. No, you're right. I mean, he has been able to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, although they had a rough period.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Stefanski, not Harbaugh.
Oh, Stefanski.
So, but Stefanski's not a total dunce.
No.
And if you asked me if Stefanski would be available on these sorts of questions, well, I wouldn't have known that, actually. I would have wondered if they kept Stefanski over Barry, because I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are names available that I wouldn't have suspected, because that's how this season went. I mean, Stefanski, Browns losing, it should have. And that's on me. But then there's Harbaugh. Guy who coached for Baltimore for 18 years. He has won a Super Bowl, as you mentioned, with Joe Flacco. Interesting, the connection. The guy has had solid seasons. He's also been one of the keys of Mitch's management, where I think that he is the coach that a lot of McDermott blind haters think he is. I think that's John Harbaugh. I don't want anything to do with John Harbaugh, because I have a better version of John Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Even if there's another playoff loss added in here, even if it's the first one and done in McDermott's Buffalo, well, the second.
First one since 2019.
First one since this team got to where it is, I should say, in this version of them. I need to learn how to count. But I've got better John Harbaugh. That's a downgrade.
We'll see. I think this is going to be sort of his moment. And you're hearing it, too, with all the pressure. No one's really putting it on Allen. Like, if you have noticed that, it's not – it is and it isn't. It's more, I know he's going to be very good. and he's got to rise to the occasion. I think in reality, a lot of it is on McDermott. I'm excited to see what he can do. There's been talks endlessly about how much he's improved as a coach. He is aggressive, and he has learned from the mistakes. Let's see. You've got a rookie head coach in his debut playoff game against a quarterback that, while not young, is inexperienced in these moments. What do you have?
And a quarterback who, when he's bad, he's bad.
When he's bad, he's bad. I mean, even in his one playoff win, he throws four picks in that game.
Right.
803-0550, the number two call. We'll go to the phones. Alan's up first this segment. Alan, how we doing?
Hey, good morning again, guys. I just wanted to say one thing, too. As the week goes on, I'm feeling more and more confident. I'll tell you why. Number one, I think the betting money, and I'm not a gambler much, but the betting money has stayed even the whole week. And the Bills are a road team. I liken this game back to the Patriots. And I know you could say there's difference. I just think the Patriots are a better team than the Jags. And when we were going into that game, all we heard about was Vrabel is coming off a bye. He hasn't lost. They're on an 8-game winning streak. Oh, my gosh, it's in New England. There's not going to be many Bills fans there because they don't sell their tickets. They're on fire. May's on fire. And, yes, they got off to a fast start, but look what happened. And I look at this game. I think one of the big X factors in this game is going to be the crowd. I think there's going to be at least 20 to 25,000 Bills fans there. I see it all over Twitter. Don't sell your tickets to Bills fans. And I see more and more offering $800-900 a seat. And how could people turn that down? That's what Jags fans are saying. But anyway, my point, too, is I just think it's going to come down to Allen. If you look at Trevor Lawrence, his completion just is a slightly over 60%. Even through that 6-8-game win streak, he's thrown some bad balls. And 60% is not that good nowadays in the NFL. That's below average. I think, what is it, 64% is average now? and that's going to come down big. And I think you're going to see Joey Bosa, just like in a couple games against New England and against Cleveland, where he came up with those big plays and Rousseau. I think that's going to present, because I don't think Trevor's super tall, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's 6'6". He's huge, yeah.
Pardon me?
Trevor Lawrence is huge. He's 6'6".
Okay, that's right. I'm sorry. I keep picturing Tua because it's in the same place, but similar places. But my only concern is this, and I don't know if you guys brought this up. Prater says he's healthy. I get that. He wants to play. If on a kickoff he has a quad soreness or something and he can't kick a 27-yarder to win a game, what are we going to do? I mean, I trust McDermott in this game, and I think that's another X factor. I think his experience is going to shine. But my biggest fear is, what if on a kickoff we get these 35-yard line four times because Matt Wright or whatever his name is can't get it to where he wants, and it goes in the end zone, and they just say, well, we'll take it at the 35. I think I don't want this to come down to a 24-24 game, and we need a 32-yarder, and Ray Davis has to kick it. I mean, he might make it, actually, but that's my only concern. Other than that, I think the Bills win this 30-20. That's my pick. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Take care.
Alan, thanks for the call. On the kicker point, because we haven't really brought it up too much, I wouldn't play Prater. I feel for him. It sucks that the quad has just continued to be an issue for him.
It is that it popped back up.
And that's for me where it's like, dude, we literally can't have a situation where we had it with the Jets game where it just popped up. That game, it's fine.
We were lucky that it was the Jets.
And we weren't really playing for much. The backups are mainly in cool. Like we can't have that. Matthew Wright's in. He's far younger. Fine percentages, it's right around. What...
You also cannot have a situation where you are not able to call up another player on another position because you have to have two kickers at the ready.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. For me, I would just, Matthew Wright, one kicker, that's who it's going to be. Prater, we'll talk about next week.
Right, or even worse, not having a game day jersey.
Not even having,
That's the thing, like having the call-ups is one thing. The game day jersey. It's got to be right.
Well, yeah, and especially, too, I can't imagine, and it's always a possibility, but I could not imagine dressing two kickers with the fear that maybe Prater picked. That's where I would also go, like, that's coaching malpractice. Just go with the one. Go with the one you just picked up. It is what it is. You've had to deal with it all year. And you know what? Maybe it forces you to be more aggressive. I'd love if the Jags got into a thing where Cam Little can hit 60-yard field goals, so we're going to go for those more and not go for touchdowns. I'd love that scenario.
But the thing is,
And this is where I've gotten to about the field goal situation, or the kicker situation, excuse me. Don't leave it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it may be. Don't leave it up to him. If you have the coaching acumen that we seem to think that you do, do not leave it up to the kicker here.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll take one more call here before our first timeout. Steven is up next. Steven, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How about yourselves?
Doing well.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, before I get to my point about the game Sunday, I just want to ask, have either of you guys ever heard of a movie that came out in 2001 called Second String?
No.
Can't say that I have.
Okay, look that up on YouTube. It's about the Buffalo Bills. It actually has Doug Flutie and Thurman Thomas and Mike Ditka and the voice of the Bills, Van Miller. It's a great movie. So it stars John Voight and Gil Bellows. It's a really great movie. You'll enjoy that. So the thing I wanted to say about this game, I keep hearing about how the Jaguars have the number one run defense. Okay, that may be so. But I'm hearing, so, you know, there's hesitance about whether the Bills should really focus on running the ball on them. But look, the Bills are the number one running offense in the league. They have the rushing king, James Cook. That's exactly why they need to run on this team. Just run it down their throats and establish the run game to prove that there's a superior team. And I think the way this game fans out for the Bills rushing-wise is going to, you know, end up showing, you know, whether the Bills are going to win this game. And I'm confident they're going to beat them because that way they can establish, you know, as you know, play action. And plus, Josh Allen, he's probably the most mobile quarterback. He's the number one player in the league. So I want to see the Bills really do a good job running the ball on this team and proving that they can beat them. Because my understanding is I don't think they've allowed any running back to run for more than like 75 to 80 yards this season. And I think Cook is, you know, able to run way more than that. He's proven that. So, you know, I want to see the Bills just go out and really establish the run game. They've got an elite, you know, front line too, the offensive line. So, and you know, the way the tight ends can block and even the wide receivers, I have no doubt Buffalo can go out there and establish themselves for what they do best and then win this game big time and move on to the divisional round.
Steven, thanks for the call. It's going to be a hard test for Cook. I mean, this is a team that went up against Jonathan Taylor multiple times and we're also able to handle him. He's one of the best backs in football. I do like the idea, though, of opening up the play-action game. I think Brandon Cooks really could be something for the Bills. Kincaid being healthy up the middle of the field could be huge for them as well. They're healthy on offense. I think that's going to be a huge factor in this game. And we've seen the numbers. When Kincaid's in versus when he's out. I love what Cook can do. I think Cook maybe more could open up the game, though, for Kincaid.
Hey, you know what? I'm here for attack of team strengths.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Won't expect it.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills win on Sunday. What do you think is a major reason why? We'll keep taking your calls as we go on throughout the morning. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sal Capaccio joins the show for the latest on the Bills. We got our first injury report yesterday for both Bills and the Jags. We'll get his thoughts on all of that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on a very sunny Thursday morning. Breaking news before we get to Sal Capaccio, and I am going to want to get his thoughts on this right away because it just happened moments ago. Adam Schefter tweeting out, Dolphins have fired head coach Mike McDaniel. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Sal, I mean, just immediate thoughts on this.
I wonder if John Harbaugh being available had anything to do with this, because as of a couple days ago, it seemed like Mike McDaniel was safe.
Yep. And remember, we talked about this yesterday with Harbaugh, where his, you know, the first report was he's actually been talked to by more teams than there were head coaching opportunities.
Right. Now, that doesn't guarantee that he would go there, but yeah, I mean, well, Jim was a Michigan guy. Stephen Ross, I believe, is a Michigan guy. Might be a tie-in there, but you can connect dots. Either way, I do wonder if that had anything to do with it. You know, we always knew that McDaniel was on a bit of a shakier ground, but I think once we got through a few days and he did a press conference, it felt like they were going to keep him. Now, that being said, they're also interviewing GM candidates, right?
Yes.
So, because they're interviewing GM candidates, you wonder if candidates said, look, if I'm coming in here, you got to give me a right to have my own coach. I'm not coming in here being saddled. So Stephen Ross has to then pivot and go, all right, well, I guess I have to do that to give more prospective GMs an ability to want this job.
And you know what? And bringing it back to now Jacksonville Jaguars, who the Bills are playing, how they get Liam Cohen? They ultimately have to fire Trent Baalke. I mean, it takes the one candidate and then they move on. But Sal, I think you're probably onto something there where maybe in the early hearings, they're finding out a bunch of guys are like, I'm not hitching my wagon to a guy that might be out next year. I think there's absolutely something to that.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. I don't really know. Like, I mean, obviously we could speculate all day until we hear from Stephen Ross what actually spurred it on, but obviously a new coach coming in the AFC East.
Mike McDaniel, yeah, out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Now, though, to the Bills and the Jaguars. Sal, we got our first injury report yesterday. Was a walkthrough, but boy, it was a lengthy one.
Yeah, for sure. So the big news yesterday, I think, is Matt Prater still not kicking, but him talking to the media after and saying he feels confident that he'll get a good weekend and then he'll be ready to go on Sunday. But he still has to do that. He has to kick today. We'll see about tomorrow. Josh Allen is on the injury report, but really good news is full participant yesterday. No practice yesterday for linebacker Terrell Bernard or linebacker Matt Milano. Now, Milano is sick, so let's hope he's back at practice today. I'll be down there in a little while. We'll find out a little bit later this afternoon. Bernard still dealing with a calf injury. That's a bit problematic because Shaq Thompson is still limited with the neck injury that he had from a few weeks ago. So you're a little banged up and have an illness at linebacker. Hopefully everything starts to settle in today. Ty Johnson didn't practice yesterday with an ankle injury he suffered during the game. Now, let's remember, in the game, he came back in. He actually scored a touchdown after that. But, you know, you go back in the locker room the next day, you could have problems swelling up, whatever. So we'll see how he gets through the rest of this week. And then Joshua Palmer was the one that we didn't know about, and then all of a sudden he showed up as a DNP on the injury report. So again, what's going on there? Was it something where they just felt, okay, let's back off on him because he played on Sunday, he'd been dealing with the ankle injury, or is this something where it is another issue because the ankle isn't quite right, and today will tell us a lot more. Several guys are limited, including DeMar Hamlin, who was his 21-day window to play was open. So he doesn't count on the roster right now, but if they wanted to, they could activate him by Saturday at 4 p.m. And that, you know, could happen depending on other things around the roster, but doesn't appear that they have any issues at safety right now other than Jordan Poyer, who was also limited, but that's good news with the hamstring injury because he hadn't played in a few weeks.
Sal, when it comes to the linebacker position, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano both show up there as DNPs, and I do wonder, especially with Shaq Thompson limited, they might be really running a little thin here potentially against Jacksonville with the linebacking situation.
Yeah, but like I said, I think as long as Matt Milano's not super sick, I wouldn't think he'd miss the game. And you know, hopefully he's back today. He has an illness, is why he missed yesterday. But I do think you have to account for both Shaq and Terrell dealing with injuries at the middle spot. You do have Dorian Williams; he can play both spots. Joe Andreessen actually started last game, so they could be a little thinner. I wouldn't be surprised to see Keontae Jenkins or Baylen Spector elevated for this game, because what happens is, even if guys are healthy enough to play, you don't maybe want to put their full plate on special teams and things like that, and then you need somebody for special teams. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes today. I wouldn't be too worried about linebacker right now. I think today would be a key day. And even if Terrell Bernard can't go this week, then I do think you're probably looking at Jenkins or Spector probably elevating up for the game because, again, then Joe Andreessen essentially becomes your backup middle linebacker. You don't want to have to be in a position where if something happened to Shaq Thompson, then you're without Andreessen on special teams as well.
A position fans might be worried about, though, Sal, and I might's probably a weak word for that, probably are worried about, is kicker. Matt Prater, not practicing yesterday, but he did talk to the media, and he seemed pretty confident in his ability to play on Sunday, though. I don't know if I would roll that dice, Sal. Where do you sit with Prater in the kicking game?
Well, it's going to be interesting over the next couple of days what happens. As I said, he said he's confident he'll get through a couple of days here, and he feels like that's trending that way. He did use the word precautionary when we asked him what happened Sunday, which is encouraging, meaning, you know, he said it did stiffen up on him, the right quad, Sunday's game, because of the cold and all that. Excuse me. He said, he's confident that, you know, he'll do all that, but it's also not his choice, right? I mean, like, at the end of the day, the trainers and doctors are also going to kind of evaluate, see where he is, and all of that. Now, let's just say he gets through the week and he does kick well. The Bills feel confident. I still think you have to consider the fact that what happens if something happens to him Sunday during the game. Now, unless the Bills are super confident that he's going to be fine, nothing's going to happen, they might want to elevate Matthew Wright from the practice squad. They might even want to have him active and have two kickers active on Sunday. I don't know, guys. There's a lot to be decided here. You only get two elevations. You only get 48 spots on game day. So, you know, it's just, as we sit here now on Thursday, there's just a lot of speculation. We just don't know the answers to yet.
Right, and then this stuff we'll be able to find out, what is it, Saturday at 4 p.m. is when we'll have a better idea. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, looking to the Jaguars, I was listening to Trevor Sikkema, part of his breakdown of this matchup over on PFF, and he was bringing up Trevor Lawrence and obviously how well he has been playing up to this point, but it's also been to a certain extent because he is just taking more and more risks. Like, he is really playing with fire a little bit here, and I do wonder if this is a matchup the Bills can exploit. Of course, they come into this game with the number one ranked secondary. Cole Bishop has really ascended into, I think, probably a player that most Bills fans trust, where if you look back at the start of the season, he had maybe the biggest question mark surrounding him. This is a matchup, and me and Derek were talking about it. You know, if the Bills win on Sunday, what's a major reason? I look at McDermott. You know, could this be a game where he could really put his stamp on it and, you know, go to town on essentially a quarterback who has not been in these situations much and a debut rookie head coach in the playoff?
I agree. I think this is a really big moment for the Bills defense, their staff, going against this particular quarterback who's playing really well right now. You have a very good offensive mind on the other side in Liam Cohen. They have played against Trevor Lawrence, but he's not in those games previously been playing anywhere close to the level he's playing right now. Obviously, a different coaching staff, different system. They do a lot of really good things on that side of the ball. It's almost a really no win situation in a lot of ways for the Bills this week, guys, which is, you know, they're supposed to be here. They're supposed to beat the Jaguars. If they don't, the season's a major failure. If they do, it's like, oh, well, you're supposed to do that anyway. Whereas on the other side, the Jags, they necessarily weren't supposed to be here with a first-year head coach. They have everything to gain, nothing to really lose. If they lose, it's like, oh, you lost to Josh Allen and the Bills? Okay. If they win, it's like, oh, my God, here we go. Look what this team's doing. It's found money. So I do think from that aspect of it, that's a tough spot to be in. But at the same time, I do think Sean McDermott is still one of the better defensive minds in all of football. Now, I know his defense has been leaky against the run, and we can point to this being wrong or that being wrong and what happened in games past. I get it. I'm just saying, building a game plan, trying to stop another team's best weapons, I think he's been very good at that. The Bills haven't been beaten necessarily by, like, number one wide receivers a lot this year. When they've gone against really good run teams, sure, volume might be there, but they've done a good job in spots where they've had to shut down, like a Saquon Barkley in a situation. When they played Carolina and those guys were really rolling, they did a good job. So it's a test this week. I think the biggest test is not just Lawrence, it's how well balanced this offense is for the Jaguars. They can run the ball really well, and when they do, and look, when I say run the ball really well, a lot of times it's staying ahead of things. No, they're not a team that's going to rely on the run. They're going to rely on the pass. But if they can start to run the ball well, which the Bills obviously have been bad against this year at times, that's when Lawrence really gets unlocked. They can run play action off that, and then you really get in a bind.
Sal, I'm glad that you mentioned it. They do tend to go by the pass. I think the big matchup that I'm looking at here is Taron Johnson has not had the season of his usual standards, and Parker Washington has really come on a lot for Jacksonville. While there's been a lot of public praise, especially by the head coach, about Jacoby Myers in that receiving core, I think that that's probably the matchup I'm looking at the most, is Taron Johnson and Parker Washington.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. He's fast. He's good. I mean, they really found something there. And what really happened here with Jacoby Myers adding in, everybody's kind of fit in their roles a little bit better on that side of the ball for Jacksonville, right? Jacoby Myers has kind of allowed everybody like Parker Washington to flourish. And even Brian Thomas Jr., who's been much better, really, the second half of the year since that. You know, when the Jags lost Travis Hunter, it's obviously terrible, and you don't want to see that. And Travis Hunter's such a dynamic, fun player to watch. But it forced them to go out and try and, you know, do something different, add to the group. They added Jacoby Myers, And it's really worked out well for them. Not the injury necessarily, but the fact that they had to pivot a little bit and figure out another way to do it. And I give them a lot of credit for that. So it is a really tough matchup. It's a good matchup. You know, I just think they have a lot of different weapons. You have to figure out how to cover. And if you can get pressure on Lawrence, the other thing the Jags do, guys, is it's kind of the McVay-Goff thing when they were together. Like, Liam Cohen talks to Lawrence up till 15 seconds left on the play clock, and he'll give him the answers to what he's seeing on the other side. Mm. And I think there's a counter to that, though. The Bills know that. The Bills can see that happening. The Bills can try and switch stuff up, switch things up. But if they see something they really like, they'll get into that play. And, you know, that's a cat and mouse game that's going to be played on Sunday.
I'm also curious, too, you know, getting pressure on Lawrence. Him and Allen have essentially taken the same sacks. I think Lawrence has taken 41, Allen's taken 40. It should be noted, though, in the last three games, Lawrence has taken at least two or more sacks. It's not everything, but I think stops are going to be at a premium in this game, or it could be huge in this game. Maybe not necessarily turnovers the way he's playing, but I think it could be big. And that's been a problem for this team in the postseason, Sal. I think there's a number of these Kansas City games in the playoffs they would have won if they could have just gotten a sack or two on Mahomes.
Oh, of course, right. That's been the thing we've really lamented here in Buffalo in the playoffs, is what's held the team back has been the question the last few years in the playoffs. And I think the first answer you normally get to is they just didn't get to the quarterback. They didn't get to Mahomes. That's why they went out and signed Von Miller. That's why they went out and signed Joey Bosa, which, by the way, Joey Bosa on the injury report, but, you know, it's good news. He's hamstring. I think he was full. I have to go back and look at
he
it.
He was full purses,
but, you know,
yeah.
They've I think, done a – you know what I was thinking about, guys, today? Remember when they signed Joey Bosa and everyone said, just put him in bubble wrap for the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are. We're in the playoffs, and yes, he does have the hamstring, but it's kind of gone that way where, yeah, he did have a little bit of an issue, the hamstring later in the year, and that was like, oh, my God. But now it's playoff time, and he didn't play last week. Now you need a guy like Joey Bosa, and exactly to your point.
Right, and that's why he signed him. Sal, last thing here before we let you get ready for practice today, and of course tomorrow you'll have Sean McDermott on this show as well to kind of get a bit of a update as we head into the weekend. But tonight we do have some important football, the college football playoff. Going to be locked into Miami or Ole Miss?
So tonight, yes, I will watch some of that. Tomorrow is my wife Yana's birthday.
Okay.
So she is headed, we will not be around tomorrow. She's headed out of town to visit her mom. So tonight we're having a birthday dinner. So I do not want to be focused on the game while we're at birthday dinner. That would not be good husband.
There you go. Fair. That's right.
A good husband thing to do. But you know what? We'll be done with dinner and home and watching the game for sure. So yeah, I am going to be dialed in on that. Sabres Rangers tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm excited right now. Every time the Sabres game on, I'm kind of, you know, making sure that I see all of that. I think I like Ole Miss tonight because I love the story, but I think I might be going with my heart and not my head because Miami's playing really good football right now.
Mm-hmm.
But man, this Shambliss kid is really good. Love watching him play, you know, and their running back is special. They have, it's just that whole story and Lane Kiffin, and not to get into all that, but how can you not root for these guys, right? But should be fun tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Miami
and
right
I like
now.
Indiana tomorrow, too, and I hate saying that. My brother actually got his PhD from the University of Oregon. He's a Duck. He loves the Ducks. So I wouldn't mind seeing Oregon win. I just think Indiana is a special team this year.
We've got multiple just incredible stories that are documentary worthy, and only one of them is going to be able to raise the trophy at the end. Sal, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for jumping on us, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Thanks,
Sal
guys.
Baccio,
thanks,
there.
Sal.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm still here.
Thanks, guys.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also get a bit of a Bandits talk in as well. John Gertler is going to join the show at 11:30. We'll take a quick timeout here when we come back. We'll keep taking your calls, hitting your tweets up as well. If the Bills win on Sunday, what is the major reason why? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
One might even say wrapping up.
Wrapping up, that's right. But the end of hour number one.
So,
been flying.
Before I failed at English at the end of that segment.
It's a hard language, sorry.
I was going to name you all of the bowl sponsors. throughout the college football playoff.
You're going to tell me to
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Tito's is not the Fiesta Bowl, and I'm going to get upset.
Oh, it's not even close.
Damn.
It's not even food.
That's incorrect.
It's the Verbo Fiesta Bowl tonight.
Nope, nope. What's the Peach Bowl tomorrow? Do you have that?
Chick-fil-A.
That is so much better. All right, yeah, they've kept that one. Good. Okay, we're fine.
That one's fine.
Okay.
The Capital One Orange Bowl.
Oh, my mood is way better now.
The Rose Bowl presented by Prudential. At least that one I think they did it smart by saying the sponsor afterward.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
The All-State Sugar Bowl. I think that one's been like that for a while now.
Yes.
And the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic.
I think that one's been like that for a while too.
Yeah,
okay,
but yeah, there you go. The Verbo Fiesta Bowl.
All right, I still have
just
my college football.
Just to make your stomach churn there.
I still have my college football to a certain extent. 803-0550, the number to call. The Bills win on Sunday. What is the major reason why? We'll go back to the phones here real quick before we take our next time out. Billy is up first this segment. Billy, how we doing?
How you doing, guys? Listen, I gotta disagree with the last caller where he says we want to run the ball down their throats. I totally, totally disagree. Look, this quarterback for Jacksonville hasn't been good since his first year in the league, his first year with Clemson. He's been, as far as I'm concerned, a major disappointment. And I know, yeah, I get it. He's played good the last 8 or 9 games. But I'm telling you, all these quarterbacks become good once they start running again. We take the run away from this guy and we make him pass the football. He's going to do something stupid like he's done his whole career. And that's the way I think we attack them on the defensive side of the ball. As for the offense, I've said this a million times calling, you know, Sal or calling you guys or whoever. We have got the best quarterback left in – well, we got the best quarterback in the league. And the three teams that are supposed to be our, you know, New England, Houston, and this Jacksonville team, it is a total mismatch. And I know May's going to win MVP probably. I'll take Josh over any one of them. And this is where I'm going with this. I don't want to see us running the damn ball to try and establish the run. Mm-hmm. I want to see play action, 15, 20 plays, play action, and let Josh take it over. Josh is going to beat them by himself if we let him do it. If we're going to try and run the ball and get down 14-0 like we have the last 7 or 8 weeks against every team except for the Jets last week, we're going to be in trouble. Look, this has got to be about Josh and then the run. Once the linebackers and their secondary start seeing that we're play actioning, that will open up our run game later on. But let's let Josh be Josh. Josh should get us to this. I don't care about our defense or our offense. We've got to outslug teams, and we've got the best team and the best quarterback in the league to do this. Let Josh take this over, and I'm going to tell you guys, we're winning the damn Super Bowl. It's that simple.
Billy, all right,
Billy,
good vibes, good vibes. I will say, I agree on the Allen point. You want to let him be playoff Allen. I get worried if he has the tools to do it.
I'm not necessarily worried
about it. I like the tight ends, but I'm hoping Brandon Cooks, they've unlocked something there. I don't know if they have.
Ready? Here's what I want. Balance. I don't need to go run heavy. I don't need to go pass heavy. How they've won this year has been balance. Sean McDermott, after the Carolina game where they run for like...
200 yards.
I think it was like 240 yards.
James
or something.
Cook alone ran for 200 yards.
Like as a team, they run for like 240 yards or something like that. Sean McDermott immediately goes, I want to have more balance in this game. After a beatdown win, I want to have more balance in this offense. I'm with the coach here. I want balance. You can get away with it, and the Bills have played their best offensively typically when they have that balance, when they do have a run game to make sure that that play action is a credible threat. And you know what also helps? Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Kincaid's healthy, their offense looks different. By the way, you did bring up a really good point on the rushing attack from Trevor Lawrence. He leads that team in rushing touchdowns with 9. So when he gets on the move, he is a rushing threat.
And that's going to turn into pass rush.
Mm-hmm. Finish.
finish, which has always been my biggest gripe about them.
Oh, yeah, pressure rate, great. Finish the play.
Finish the play. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll keep taking your calls here as we cruise along here on a Thursday morning. If the Bills win on Sunday, what is the biggest reason why, or one of the biggest reasons why? John Galler coming up at 11:30 for a little bit of Bandits talk as well. Keep on rolling here after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.
They're a really good football team. You know, I've had a chance to look at them in all three phases, and they've got a lot of weapons. When you just talk special teams, obviously their kicking game is elite. Kickoffs and their punters extremely talented as well. Their return game is really good. You know, Heath does a great job over there, and you know, the trades that they made with getting Jacoby Myers on the offensive side has definitely paid dividends, and you know, it looks like they've got the guys in the spots where they want them now. And I think they're 7-1 since they picked them up, maybe. And then, you know, picking up the corner on the other side from Cleveland, good player as well, and he's fortified and kind of solidified that side of the ball for him in terms of the corner piece. So, very talented team. So we'll have a big challenge in front of us.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday. 2 days in a row, by the way, bringing up Jacoby Myers unprompted. Midseason edition, trade deadline edition for the Jaguars. And it has worked wonders for that Jags offense. It has allowed them to really unlock everything in the passing game, I think. You know, Parker Washington has been the star, but most do acknowledge that Jacoby Myers being slotted into the lineup. It's allowed Brian Thomas to have a much better second half of the year. It's allowed Parker Washington to flourish, and it's allowed Trevor Lawrence to really just take shots down the field. He has been an aggressive quarterback
over the second half stretch. I would like to rewind to the NFL trade deadline and say, my bad. Because I was kind of scared of the Bills adding Jacoby Myers.
Right. Well, because it kind of felt like maybe he wouldn't fit what they needed.
Well, I mean, not many boundary receivers are fitting this offense anyway.
Well, yeah, that's actually a very good point.
Based on what I've subscribed to at this point, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I like Myers. I feel like he's just a guy. Nope. Totally taking that one back. My bad, everyone. Now to reap the reward, quote-unquote, of that and having to face Jacksonville with Jacoby Myers. So, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say my bad. Oops. And 803-0550.
Right. We trudge along. we continue to march.
We move along. Derek's an idiot. News more at 11. Hey, it's 11 now.
Real quick, I tweeted it out as well, and I've said this for weeks now, even maybe months. So Mike McDaniel out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It is official.
Yep.
The team released a statement about a half hour ago. He's out. And I tweeted, and I've felt this way for months.
Yes, you have.
This is the guy I want to be the Bills OC if they are to move off from Joe Brady. If I'm the Bills, that's what I'm doing. And there's obviously a few reasons why. Number one, he comes from the Kyle Shanahan tree, and he might be one of my favorite head coaches in football. His offensive schemes were perfect. I think the one thing that has caused Kyle Shanahan to not have multiple Super Bowls is that his starting quarterbacks have been Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo. And I've gotten much more fond of Purdy as the years have gone on, but there is a limit to that. Everything needs to be running perfect. If he had a Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, I think things would be very different. The team also, I think, somewhat acknowledged that when they traded up and tried to do it with Trey Lance, although that did not work at all. I would love to see McDaniel in for that reason. He had Tua Tagovailoa, and that, I think, limited what they could do on a day-to-day basis on offense. He's not perfect, because I will also acknowledge, you know, where guys like Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur could really succeed with some backup quarterbacks. McDaniel couldn't, but that's why I think those guys are still in their jobs and McDaniel is out.
Right.
But if I get him as OC, he's going to bring in a very talented offensive mind. And also, to this point, Derek, and I think this is maybe the most important one, what are we constantly talking about with having McDermott as the head coach? It's the fact that OCs are going to be leaving. If they're good, they're gone. They're going to get a head coaching job. We haven't dealt with that in a little while because in the middle of all this, Dorsey does get fired. And
yeah, they've had to fire an OC and now might be getting rid of another one for reasons that are more of madness than anything.
But with McDaniel, I get a guy that was so impressive. He did get a head coaching job, led some pretty darn impressive offenses in Miami, albeit ones that sort of fizzed out in the playoffs. I think that has much more to do with the GM and the quarterback he had. But I also get a guy that, it's his reputation now, is not a really great head coach.
Right.
That reputation is not going to be fixed in 1 year, maybe not even 2 years. And if I'm Mike McDaniel, I want to go to a team where I'm going to have a great quarterback, and it will help rebuild my reputation as fast as possible. If he goes to somewhere, let's say Atlanta completely cleans house, they already are, and he goes to Atlanta because they do have Drake London and Bijan Robinson and maybe Kyle Pitts because he's a free agent, he's not secure in that quarterback spot. He's not at all. Michael Penix is coming off now a torn ACL. We'll see what that means at all. But what he might have is Washington, Jane Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens. They've only moved off of Harbaugh, but the expectation is they're moving off of everybody.
Yep.
This is where I think you also, if you're the Bills, need to be active.
Well, you can't
instead of reacting to something else that happens. And so, again, the season has to end. But if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm waiting. I am waiting to see what other jobs potentially open up, what have you. Tampa Bay opened up today with Josh Grizzard getting fired after 1 year. I am waiting this out. We also heard, too, yesterday, John Harbaugh is not taking any interviews until next week.
Now, I understand why Harbaugh would do that. With McDaniel, if there's teams offering up him to be a head coach, I'm not waiting to see if the Bills would be an OC offering position.
I don't think he'll get it. If he gets head coaching opportunities, he's not.
Yeah. You mentioned Tampa Bay, and I think that one's actually like all the more interesting to me because he then has Baker Mayfield and that wide receiver core to play with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Bucky Irving as well as the primary running back. Like, that's actually a really good tantalizing offense that you can really utilize talent with. The Bills, you have the best quarterback. And you also have the best running back this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a tight end group that isn't always healthy. A wide receiver group that I'm tired, boss.
A little lackluster, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you do have one of the better offensive lines in the league. That would help.
That's my thing. If all I have to do is, hey, we need to add some pieces here to the wide receiver room, you can do that in offseason.
But I might have to help dump a little water on your dream saying, those teams can act now.
Right.
The Bills cannot.
If I'm him, I'm waiting as long as I can before I take a job. I want to see what is available.
The problem is that there's two really good spots available as an OC alone that I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Washington may not be because they're an old team.
I'm not even talking. I'm talking more Baltimore and Tampa.
And Tampa.
So that's where I'm kind of trying to like, come back to me, Zach. Mm-hmm. You're waiting away from the realm of reality. Get back here.
No, I think they can convince them.
Where's the rope? Where's the rope?
I think they can convince them.
Dan, where's the rope?
I mean, he won an MVP.
We got to reel him back in.
Last year, I think they can convince him. And to be fair, what better way to kind of stick it to Miami than going to Buffalo, working with Allen, and then jumping ship to another team in 2-3 years, if he even gets that opportunity. Like, that's the thing. That's really my big premise here is that you could maybe have McDaniel for the rest of Josh Allen's prime.
Because
he does need to rebuild that reputation.
I do wonder what the fallout becomes, though. Like, if John Harbaugh doesn't go to Miami, what'd they do this for?
Right. You waited a while. I mean, sure, they maybe had to meet, what have you, but it sounds like the reports, too, are he hasn't actually – like Harbaugh didn't play in any of that. Peter Schrager, I think, tweeted it out as well, which I think is baloney. Perfect. I think that's maybe Harbaugh's people going like, no, we didn't hear from them. That's crazy. No, never. No. I think they did. Now, will they take the Miami job? Harbaugh and his people. Harbaugh. I think the Giants job is probably perfect for him. He has the quarterback there already. Malik Nagy.
Yeah, there's a lot
back
to rebuild with Miami. That quarterback contract with Tua is bad.
I don't think they're a particularly attractive job at all. I thought initially that was why they were keeping McDaniel, that like we're just going to ride this out maybe for another year.
Dead man walking thing.
And instead,
not introduce somebody new to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is a GM saying, I want my own coach so that we can actually build this thing through.
Mm-hmm.
And also a dead man walking, being helpful within a draft class is never good.
Never good. It just wastes everybody's time.
Especially if you need to bring in a new quarterback, which we've said multiple times, that's the one way to kill development in a player.
803-0550, the number to call. What do you think is going to be the biggest reason the Bills win if they do on Sunday? We'll go back to the phones here. Steve is up first in this segment. Steve, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. I was just going to piggyback on the McDaniels and Miami talk. Mm-hmm. I was thinking Brady would be a great candidate for the head coach job in Miami. You know, I think he's like, that's a young man's job down there. And they're, like, no experienced head coach, especially that's, you know, in their late 60s or almost 70s, is going to want to take that job because they're 3 years away.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give Brady time to, you know, go and get his guy and know the roster down there. And, you know, the only thing that scares me about it is having someone in division that's got intimate knowledge of Josh Allen and, you know, McDermott, you know, that we're going to have to play twice a year. But, you know, that's my thoughts on Brady going down there. I think he'd be great. That's a good fit for him.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. I do wonder, you bring up a good point, though. It's a young man's job because it is the rebuild, right? Harbaugh's in his 60s.
Right.
Is he going to want to deal with that? We've already kind of acknowledged probably not. Pete Carroll coming in for a rebuild with the Raiders was a disaster.
Gets canned 1 year.
Right. My only issue with it, most teams do this, the 180. We just hired an offensive guy. We're going to go defense.
They always do the overcorrection, yes.
What does Miami do? They had Brian Flores, their next coach, Mike McDaniel.
More importantly, what sunk the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah. The Bills don't do the positional 180. They do the personality 180. Rex Ryan is loud and boisterous.
And an experienced head coach.
An experienced head coach. They then go to very, at the time, especially very serious, very stoic Sean McDermott. They're both defensive guys, but the personality is the 180. I think more Miami is looking for the positional 180.
Even date it back. The coach before Ryan is Doug Marrone.
Mm-hmm.
That's his first NFL head coaching job. Who does Marrone follow up? Dick Geron, an experienced NFL head coach.
I thought he followed up Chan Gailey.
Oh, that's right. That's
Gailey's
right.
In the middle of those two.
But Chan Gailey is a guy who's been around for a long time.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that that's where it is. You're right. I think the 180 is not, I don't think it's personality based. I think it's experience based when the Bills do it. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. Well, hang on. I'm talking way too soon here.
Give it a minute. May have to. You
may have to deal with this.
Probably won't. But
I probably won't. And honestly, the last thing I'm going to say about the coaching thing for a little bit here is, to the people that think that John Harbaugh is an upgrade, I said it once, I already hinted at it. To the people that think that John Harbaugh is an upgrade on Sean McDermott, I don't want to say necessarily that that's incorrect, but I don't love that sentiment. How's
that? You do not love the idea of Harbaugh at all. He would not at all be
the
on
amount
my
of
list
times
that
they've
happened.
Choked games in his entire coaching tenure. Oh my God.
I don't think we'd have to worry about it. I'm more talking coordinators, but
right.
Yeah, he would not be on my list at all. 803-0550, the number to call. We go to Scott next. Scott, how are we doing?
Oh, guys, thank you for taking my call. I need the help. I talk to my priest, my family, my friends. They all say I got to dump my girlfriend. She's brutal. I can't take her smalls. I'll just lay it out. From the start, she thinks you guys will be doing movie trivia in 5 days.
Oh, no.
All week. She says the Bills are the Dallas North. She says nothing but hype, a couple of or a few wild card wins against third string quarterbacks and rookie quarterbacks at home, a couple division wins, and everyone in this town, she says, talks Super Bowl. She says Josh Allen is the best running quarterback in the league. He's not. People say he's the best player. She says he's not even the best player on the Bills. She says Cook is. She said, we went to the Cleveland game. She's like, look at the last two games. The Cape went 12 of 19 when we were there. I think Cook had 100 yards in the first half, which should have opened up the passing game. She says, follow that, the offense doesn't score a point for 55 minutes at home against the Eagles and needed these games. She said,
she's not liking the Bills, man. She's not liking them.
Oh, my. Well, you know what? I'm listening to her. I'm calling her crazy, but these facts are there. She's not wrong. So I don't know what to do, man.
Give her a hug, brother. give her a hug and let her know that it's okay. That's my advice.
Stay with her. She challenges you, and that's good in an early relationship.
Yes.
I actually don't know how long you two have been dating, but that's right. Good in a relationship.
I'm saying give her a hug. She sounds like she needs it.
It's not wrong, though.
But the thing is, there are facts being presented there. It is how you interpret them. So if she's interpreting it as Josh Allen's not the best player on the team, give that woman a hug. She needs it. It's okay.
I'm glad at least she said Cook.
Realistic answer. I will always say, you know, if something is feeling negative, sometimes you don't know what the person's going through. Give her a hug.
Also, I mean, the context, too, is...
Also, what the hell are we going to do to help, man?
Yeah. Also, movie trivia? It's summertime, okay? We got college basketball. We got Sabres hockey.
We got Sabres hockey, and they're fun to watch right now.
Just saying. The movie trivia is going to... We got a little while for that.
Yeah, a little bit, but...
On the context, though, of... I think the playoff history, though, too, like, that's always, I think, a fun topic for the modern NFL now because of the change in seeding. The 7 seed's added in and the 2 seed no longer has the bye.
And it gets very annoying.
It's gotten very annoying. It's also very much diluted the product. It's why we've only had 1 7-2 win in the last however long it's been here, maybe 5 years or so. It's diluted the product, but those are the teams the Bills have had to play, and they've beat them all. They haven't run into that problem. If this is the normal, you know, the Bill or the, when the Patriots are running the AFC East, they'd have a bye. They don't pick up some of these injuries that they've have in these playoff games, and maybe their win or their losses against Mahomes go a little bit differently, right? Or even some of their losses against Cincinnati go a little bit differently, what have you.
But, because then they get the week off.
But look, I mean,
to help process a little bit more of what has happened.
Yeah. And to the caller's point as well, this is their history. This is why a lot of the pressure's on them, maybe unfairly, but this is also how sports goes in the modern world. Like, it's all about legacy, and you've been here for a while, and you haven't even made the big game yet. It's why I've also mentioned that this week, this game, is going to be huge for McDermott. Not necessarily in the sense that they'll fire him or not, but just in the sense of you're the older coach. You're the guy that's been here and done this, and you've done wonderful work with this defense in the second half of the year. You have. Now, can you stop a white-hot quarterback in Trevor Lawrence? He is not Burrow. He is not Jackson. He is not Mahomes. You've done great work against Jackson in the past. Burrow and Mahomes, for the most part, have gotten you. Do we have to add Lawrence to that list?
Yeah, I would rather not. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, a lot of people will try to dunk on the Bills for the quarterbacks they beat in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Is Trevor Lawrence's name going to be on that unfascinating list if a Bills win?
I think if they win this game, like, that needs to be put in there as one of their better playoff wins.
Right.
It's not last year's divisional matchup against Baltimore. Actually, both divisional matchups against Baltimore. But it should be considered one of their most impressive playoff wins in this tenure. Absolutely should.
Right. So that's going to be the real thing for me is, and I'm not worried about the defense. I'm not. They're going to give up some. And it'll probably be early. There's your warning. Brace for impact. But the Bills have, this season, defensively, gotten punched in the mouth, said, thank you for the punch, now I know how to defend it. They've taken the hard knock lessons and turned them into defensive game plans and even flipping the game on its head in the second half.
My only fear is just don't start off so slow in the first half.
You can't do 21-0.
Right. I will tell you, though, if the score's 14-10 Jags at halftime, I will feel very good.
Yeah.
I will feel very, very good. If the Bills are winning going into half, I'll feel great, no matter how that came about. If they're leading going into the half, I'll feel wonderful.
Say it's first quarter. They let the scripted drive just handle them.
Like normal, yeah.
But they then take the lessons and go, okay, this is what you're good at. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can cook up.
And they've done that a few times this year.
Yes. To be a fly on the wall for the halftime adjustments in the locker room.
See, we might all think it's like some razzle-dazzle big speech. And it might be just like, guys, that's what they're doing. You guys had it.
Like, it's on like a scratch board, like a legal pad. It's on a scratch pad, all the notes of like everything that they're doing. And it's like, how do we...
I think everyone hopes it's Will Muschamp punching a whiteboard when he was at the University of Texas.
Right.
And I feel like it's not.
It's
I
more,
feel like it's not.
It's more thoughtful, analytical, and processed.
Yeah. Will Muschamp, by the way, back is DC.
What a name.
At Texas.
There's a name drop.
I'm thrilled for him. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Take one more call here before we take our next time out. Jeff is up next. Jeff, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, if I could throw a couple things at you. You know, you played the McDermott snips, and all the way back to when we lost Jamarcus Ingram to Houston. It was sort of like a, you could tell, like, at least I thought I read into it where, you know, McDermott wasn't happy about losing him. And, sort of like, I wonder if there's just a little bit of friction tension when he brings up, well, you know, now Harrison got hurt over, Maxwell, because we didn't have another outside corner to put on the field. And you hear him say that, and you hear him, you know, talk about the acquisition that Jacksonville made with a corner from Cleveland. And you look at this team, and if there's a reason they lose, I want to say because, boy, if they get an injury at outside corner, they're sort of up against the wall.
Yeah.
And if they win, I've been listening to the show for a good hour or so, and I would say if they're going to win, I'm going to go with the premise that you keep the ball away from Jacksonville with these 7-8 minute drives and try and pound away and get a lead. And, the best place for him to be would be on the bench for us. And if I would, one more thing, I hope Jacksonville wins the toss, defers, because you talk about halftime adjustments, and I've never really, I watch a lot of football in my day. This team is really good at figuring out, this is where they're killing us. This is what we got to do to counter that. And I'd really like to see the Bills with the ball instead of down 7-0 early. And that's my take on the whole deal.
Jeff,
about those corners.
Yeah, I like where your head's at. Especially the first part. We didn't really get to touch on the cornerback part at all. This is me and Derek, I know, have talked about it a lot, and I think a lot of us on the station have. That, again, we don't really know for sure. We don't know the two men intimately. There does seem to be friction there between Bean and McDermott, the build of the team going into this year, and then eventually even now kind of some of the decisions that have been made in the year. You're hearing stuff about the trade deadline. Of course, Jamarcus Ingram being poached as well. I even go back to the comments after the trade deadline. Bean, do you think this is a Super Bowl winning roster? Yes. McDermott, I love these players.
Yeah, it's another one to add into the frustration that has shown up between coach and GM publicly. And again, I subscribe to the belief of what Jarmo Kekäläinen says. I know, different sport, but same kind of thing, GM, of what I say in public, I will say in private.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have absolutely said in private. I just said something about fly on the wall. Yeah. Same there.
That one might be more interesting.
That one's more interesting.
I think that one might be more interesting.
I'd still be curious to look at halftime adjustments and see, I guess how the hot dog is made.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. Where do you think the Bills will win on Sunday if they do get the win? We'll take a bit of a pause from that, though. When we come back, we get a word in on the bandage. John Gertler is going to join the show. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Tamed off the side of Lucas Nielsen. There's Dane Smith with a shot. He scores! Oh, he had a ticket to L.A., took a Greyhound, and went home on a Great Dane.
John Gertler on the play-by-play there as Buffalo, the Bandits, back to business there, winning against the Las Vegas Desert Dogs, 15-13 last weekend. And on the Western Hotline with us will be John Gertler, the play-by-play of the Bandits, as it's time now for the Bandits Update, brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. Three great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game. John, it's Derek and Zach. First of all, it's good to talk to you again.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. Happy New Year. Roll them out for a new game.
Roll them out for a new game and a new year as well, as we're happy to do this now. We've been talking with a couple of the others, Dave Buchanan, Steve Brumell. Now we finally get our guy, the play-by-play man, and John. And it was a big win against Las Vegas over the weekend and Tucker Outland phone tonight.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Very emotional, as I mentioned through the broadcast, the 12th annual Tucker Out Lymphoma Night to raise funds and awareness for the Burkitt's lymphoma, and very successful. You know, the teams wear uniforms that were designed by Tucker and Dyson, his brother, who plays for Oshawa. And it turned out to be a great game. Love to see that Chris Kluche and Chase Fraser back with Las Vegas doing their thing. And, a big embrace by both team members just to say welcome home. But we wish you well in your career with Vegas.
And, well, while they did do that, the hugs, everything like that. They also send Vegas off with the loss, and it is some of the usual suspects. You know, Josh Byrne with 9 points, Dane Smith with 8, Ian McKay with a natural hat trick in the second quarter to end the first half, and he had 7 points here. But in your fast break on Bandits.com, you mentioned that the depth does shine in that game as well.
Yes, it did. I mean, Ian McKay along with Kyle Buchanan, they combined together, you know, scoring the goals that they did, very pretty on the other end for Buchanan, and then Dehoka Nanicuk opening up the scoring. That gives you the idea that the secondary scoring is starting to come into a very important sequence for the Bandits. Yes, they certainly covered Dane Smith and Josh Byrne, but when you've got three other guys trailing in and then maybe Ryan Benesch this weekend, you know, these guys are the ones that are going to step it up and it contribute to that secondary scoring. And we saw that Saturday night in Buffalo against Vegas. And, you know, when you start tic-tac-toeing the ball and you got Kyle Buchanan on the end of it, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
John, we're four games in now. What have you seen kind of in this first bit of the season for the Bandits when we look at this team now that is trying to go for another champion, trying to go for four in a row?
They are so focused right now. Four in a row is not even a part of the vernacular with them. It's just a, you know, selfless type of play together, humbled to the bone, understanding what everybody's role is. And guys, you know, when the Bandits get together and understand each role and really kind of put it together, whether it's on defense, transition, or in the offensive side of the fence, this is where it's going to start to pay dividends. And it's slowly coming about with the Bandits. I even in training camp when I saw the guys, you know, they were still dabbling here. Who's going to do what? You know, who's going to do what on offense? Defense is pretty solid, but certainly Saturday night's game in Buffalo was a statement game for the team to say, you know, we can do this. Yeah, the other team came on strong in the second half, like other teams have done so far this season, but the Bandits have held strong. So we're seeing it in an area where you're getting a collaboration of all the effort by the team members, and they know going in to Rochester on Saturday night that they're going to meet a red-hot team in the Nighthawks. Very talented in scoring. I mean, similar in facto to Buffalo, and they've got a solid defense as well. And, you know, the goaltending area is very impressive for the Nighthawks with Ryland Hartley back into shape. So it's going to be a tough game, and I think they're going to step it up from a standpoint of saying, okay, we've got this confidence. We played consecutive games together, which is great. We're going to play another consecutive game on Saturday night in Rochester. So you're going to see the elevation of play for the Bandits, and this should continue, barring any other injuries, which the Bandits have two major injuries right now in Mitch Desnoux and Zach Belter. So that's where the depth has got to step it up now, and guys have to collaborate together, as I had mentioned before.
I was just going to ask about the health of Desnoux and Belter and seeing if they're going to be available for this game against Rochester, John. Is there anything on the latest with the health of them? And if not, who will be the players to look out for?
No, Mitch Desnoux will not be available, and Zach Belter will not be available. So certainly the Bandits will look at probably dressing seven forwards, maybe eight, who knows. But then they have to dip down and probably put Ron John back in along with maybe Taylor Dooley. Now, Coltrane Tyson, who is one of the high draft choices from the last draft, has been practicing on a regular basis with the Bandits, as has Matt Spanger, who, you know, went out last season with a season-ending injury. They, too, practiced last night up in Brampton. Were very involved in all of the sequences of runs specifically on defense. But they're going to need more time. So I don't think they won't be available for the services on Saturday night in Rochester, speaking for Coltrane Tyson and Matt Spanger. But Zach Belter is also going to be out, and as I had mentioned before, Mitch Desnoux. So Bandits will have to step up and go with their depth. Probably Taylor Dooley, one of the draft choices a couple of seasons ago, will probably go into the lineup. And also pending on Ryan Benesch. He did not play Saturday night, lower body injury or resting, and we'll see if he's available for Saturday night. But certainly a good display on Saturday of past in Buffalo against the Dogs with the combination of Buffalo's offense and defense. I thought the defense played incredibly well. And then, of course, 42-year-old Matt Vince between the pipes, just being right there, making the right save at the right time.
The right saves at the right time, and a player that has now continued putting another notch into a storied career here. But, John, when it comes to Bandits Nighthawks over the weekend here, we've got a whole lot of Buffalo sports this weekend. What's the information like face-off time for the Buffalo Bandits and the Rochester Nighthawks this weekend?
Always a good game down the throughway to the Nighthawks. A battle of Thunder Alley is what they call it, and certainly the rivalry continues. Buffalo Bandit Land travels very well. They're going to have probably 3,000 Bandit fans have already purchased tickets for the game on Saturday night in Rochester. So that adds a little bit more of infusion, and they always try to get seats behind the Buffalo bench. So that's a little bit more of a kind of a push for the players. But as I had mentioned before, they're going to meet a red hot team. Now, Rochester is going to play the night before. They will be in Philadelphia on Friday night. So they'll be traveling, and as they say in this business, Buffalo will be waiting for them. And they won't get into Rochester probably dark early on Saturday morning. And then, a back-to-back game. I always think that when the teams play back-to-back, the team that played the night before always plays better. So the Nighthawks are going to have their whole team rolling for sure. And Connor Fields and the rest of the guys, Ryan Smith, I mean, they've got a great offensive group and a stalwart in defense. And, Gilray there on defense and then Hartley on goaltending. So it's going to be a great game. And, Bandit Land, as I had mentioned, always travels well to Rochester.
John, the last thing before we wrap up here, it's four games in the season, but once again, ho-hum. Here are Dane Smith and Josh Byrne in the top five of scoring once again in the NLL.
Incredible. I don't know what else to title over to Dane Smith. I mean, obviously, with his 200 points that he collected, I think, in Calgary. And I looked at those average stats, averaging 6.2 points per game in those 200 games that he has played. 5 goals, 12 assists in his last 2 games. I mean, he just continues on. He's such a great player. The elevation of his game and just the sense of his game. And it's almost Gretzky-esque when he's got he's on the field with Byrne. And, it's just one of those things where they know their positioning. And sure, there are set plays with the Bandits, as Tavares will install. But they also let him just roam around and freestyle as much as they can. But the guys know the areas of where they'll be, which is pretty amazing. And box lacrosse, just based on the fact that, you're so condensed in 200 by 85 feet. But, Smith leads the way. Byrne leads the way. Guys are going to cover them. They're going to try to double them. But there again, when you brought up the point of secondary scoring, this is where guys like Kyle Buchanan and Ian McKay and also Ryan Benesch, they're going to step it up along with Dehoka Nanico. These are the guys that while the other team like Rochester is covering both Smith and Byrne, these guys are going to get free. And I think we saw that on Saturday night in the stages of the game where Kyle Buchanan was on the end of some beautiful passes set up and Ian McKay, just a solid shot that he has. And then Dehoka Nanico with that bull style of play where he likes to get his face right in the middle of things and he'll let a shot go just like he did in scoring the game's first goal last Saturday night.
John, hopefully it's another classic and we'll be able to hear you over on our sister station, the Bet 1520, this weekend. Have yourself a great call and a great game.
You got it. Pre-game show at 6:30, face-off at 7 down in Roch. Thanks, guys.
That's John Gertler, Bandits play-by-play right there on the West Shore Hotline on the Bandits Update. It's brought to you by Seneca Gaming and Entertainment. 3 great locations in Irving, Salamanca, and Oil Springs. We've got your game. We'll take a timeout, wrap things up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer and Zach Jones here with you. And it's a nice warmer day here in Buffalo.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we do wrap up a Thursday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. It is sunny. It is much warmer. I got a picture of my dad. First walk with the new pupper. He's got his coat on, but it's first walk of the year. It's going to get cold probably again pretty soon, but at least they were able to get out, for the one day. That's good.
There you
That's
go.
That's good.
Good.
It's nice out, though. It's
good,
nice.
Good, good. So, I'm interested in something that...
I don't necessarily know how it's going to go, but the same way that Jeremy and Joe ended the show this morning about rumors about Artemi Panarin, and I'm interested.
Be really cool.
But I'm a little questioning.
Mm-hmm.
I need to find it. Yep, there it is. So, I have one major problem with the interest or the rumors, so to say, like, you know, bring up Artemi Panarin and that Jarmo Kekalainen might be hunting for him. Artemi Panarin, to me famously, did not sign with the Columbus Blue Jackets because he wanted to go to a bigger city, right?
Yeah, he was kind of like one of the faces of, I'm not staying in Columbus.
Right. And you're thinking that he's going to waive a full no-move clause to come to Buffalo for the rest of the year? I get that the Rangers are bad, and the Sabres have been kind of on a warpath. But I think that that's where my enthusiasm ends, is because of the player and the decisions that he has made.
Mm.
And he does stick it out with Columbus, you know, good for him, and then he gets the big contract. But he goes to New York, and it was almost a foregone conclusion. Would it be cool for Jarmo Kekalainen to go all in on another playoff push with one of the same players that would
kind of burn him?
No, I wouldn't say burn him. He knew it was happening.
He knew it was happening, but...
but he still went in on the push. Do I think it would be some sort of like interesting writing from the sports world? Yes.
So cool. It'd be so cool.
Am I going to believe it, though? I hate to put the dampening on the situation here, but... no, I don't really believe that he would waive his no move to come to Buffalo for a couple months to end the year. And I'm sorry to say that. It just doesn't strike me as something that the person would do.
Right. I mean, he's 34. He's had, I mean, we've seen it in his career in the NHL. I think for me, where I look at it, and this is much more glass half full kind of look to it, Kekalainen was also able, though, to convince Johnny Gaudreau to go to Columbus after, of course, the Panarin days. And maybe
I think it's a different type of person, though.
I don't disagree with that at all. That's 100%.
Gaudreau wanted try to head home.
Right, but maybe the selling point is, dude, just be here for 6 months. Make a playoff run here, become a legend, and if you want to leave, leave.
Yeah.
But come here for a few months. We need you. You'll get to play with Tage Thompson, Erasmus Dahlin, and let's go.
And you want the most disgusting part about all of this? Just how weird that... why are sports so weird this year? I need everyone to cut it out.
That can be fun. It's kind of fun.
I need everyone to cut it that bleep out right now. You want to know why? This is the most disgusting part about all this. The Rangers are 2 points back.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't win at home, but no one in the East drifts away.
Yes, they've played three more games. I don't care about the narrative right now. I care about the other numbers, which have to say, yeah, the Sabres are crushing them in terms of points percentage because they have played three less games, but at the same time, they're only 2 points up. If it goes the wrong result tomorrow or tonight, you're on the same footing in terms of points. Not cool.
Yeah. Sabres Rangers.
Yeah.
Tonight, 7 o'clock, 6 p.m. pregame.
Between this and the NFL drunkenly stumbling in a bar crawl this year, I feel like I've had my fill of the unpredictability.
Talk about unpredictability as well. College football tonight.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to have a very
We're going to have a 6 or a 10.
Yeah, we're going to have a very new national champion this year. Miami is the
Miami's
one that
the
has
legacy
won
one.
One. But they haven't won since the early 2000s.
But other than that, it's
a bunch of new guys on the block. Ole Miss hasn't been this relevant since the 60s. Indiana's never been this relevant. And Oregon's never won one before.
Right. So
it's awesome.
Again, I do like what Jeremy had to say about that, of like if Miami wins another game, like the damage that is done. Because now you're talking about teams that are like, oh, they do have a chance now. The CFP does have a real bye week problem.
Yeah, Indiana's been the only team that's been able to figure that out. Because it's not even a bye week. It's a bye like almost month, depending on what your conference championship is. And you got guys on winter breaks. They are going home, what have you. It's all, again, I've mentioned this a lot. The calendar is maybe the biggest problem of the whole thing.
I will say, I hate saying this, but I guess... thank you, MLB, for not being drunk this year.
Well, Toronto was a bit of a fun story.
Toronto was a fun story, but they also had like one of the higher payrolls. They were top 10 payroll
right.
in baseball, too.
It wasn't like that they had the 30th ranked payroll and went on this incredible run. But baseball's been like that in years past. That's going to do it for me and Derek Salcapaccio. We'll have you tomorrow. But coming up after a quick timeout, more on the Sabres as they play tonight. Sabres Live. This is WGR.